With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Cutting through the clutter, this is the Misty Winston Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey there, this is the Misty Winston Show right here on TNT Radio. Thanks for tuning in, appreciate it. Okay, so we have a great guest. I'm very excited. It's going to hopefully be the start of a long conversation that I'll have with many people. But before we bring her in, let's talk about Nord Stream, shall we? Because this is just, I mean, it's kind of funny at this point, because as everybody knows, legendary investigative journalist Seymour Hersh released a bombshell article on Substack. You know, he's just a blogger, guys. That's what they were trying to say. But he released a story on his Substack on February 8th that revealed that President Biden was the one who ordered the attack on Nord Stream. And it, you know, really received very little fanfare in Western media, other than people disparaging Seymour Hersh and dismissing him as like a crazy conspiracy theorist blogger. Which is, I mean, that's amusing all in itself. But, you know, everybody knew at the time, I think most thinking people knew that it was very likely that the United States was behind that bombing. Seymour Hersh comes out with this great article with, you know, doing what he does. And then in response to that, there was a really amusing story that came out in the New York Times. And you guys will probably remember this. It gave responsibility of that bombing to quote unquote a pro-Ukrainian group. Very vague, very like we don't even know what that means or anything. It was a very interesting, crazy story that it was very obvious that it was an attempt to distract. It was not even a good one. It was not, the cover up wasn't even good. It was really painfully just ridiculous. My friend Dave DeCamp has a story out today. You can catch him in antiwar.com, and he kind of dissects the Seymour Hersh thing. And in his piece, he says, investigative journalist Seymour Hersh published an article on Substack on Wednesday that said that the CIA was instructed to come up with a cover story for the Nord Stream bombings that was fed to the New York Times and the German newspaper Die Zeit. The cover-up story was created to shift blame from the U.S. after Hersh's bombshell report published on February 8th that said President Biden ordered the attack on the Nord Stream natural gas pipelines, which connect Russia to Germany. Quote, it was a total fabrication by American intelligence that was passed along to the Germans and aimed at discrediting your story, end quote. Hersh was told by a source within the American intelligence community. So people will obviously cast some doubts on this, you know, what source is it, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, I think that this is, a lot of people have been talking about this very thing. And it's kind of common knowledge. They bragged about doing it. Like they said, I think it was, let's see if it's in this article here. Yeah. Okay. So German Chancellor Scholz was in Washington on February 7th of 2022. And during that press conference, Biden vowed that if Russia invaded Ukraine, he would, quote, bring an end to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. We told people we were going to do it before we did it. So the idea that anybody is, dismissing Cy Hersh and these claims as like some crazy conspiracy theory is just not paying attention. Obviously, this is pretty, it's a pretty established fact, I think, at this point, that it was the United States that did this bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline. So Seymour Hersh strikes again. And I think that this is very indicative. And this is what's so frustrating to me about this whole Ukraine nonsense, is that it's not even clever propaganda. They're not even good at this. They just regurgitate a lot of the same stupid stories and the same propaganda. And it sucks because they're able to do it because people just buy into this stuff uncritically. And it's not even that difficult to see through the charade, right? It's very, this is very surface level shenanigans. So I just think it's funny. I mean, here we are, people are going to start calling Seymour Hersh a crazy conspiracy theorist and, trying to dismiss him and his work. And listen, I don't always agree with Seymour Hersh, but there's no question he's a legendary investigative journalist. I think that's a fair descriptor. And even just investigative journalists would suffice, I suppose. But that's what they do. They dismiss people who speak counter to the approved establishment narrative, and they will smear you and, you know, silence you. And this is how that works. We're watching it play out in real time again with Seymour Hersh, and on a story that is so obvious. It's kind of like January 6th. To me, January 6th was like an obvious psyop from like weeks before the event even took place. But this is very similar. It's one of the more obvious ones that they have tried to pull off here recently. And it's very frustrating that people keep falling for this stuff. It really is. Okay, so yeah, go check out that article from Seymour Hersh. You can find that on his Substack. Also, you can check out Dave DeCamp's write-up on it. He does great work over at antiwar.com. And there's a, you know, a great group of guys over there working. So yeah, it's definitely interesting. The timing's funny. Politics is just funny to me. It's very much a show at this point. I have given up all hope. So everything is just a show at this point, and I'm just kind of like sitting back and watching the drama. It's bad. It's really bad. Okay. Anyways, don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Sarcasm Stardust. Also, I have a Substack. On my Substack every day, there's a write-up of the guest, and all of their links and stuff that they're doing, all that good stuff. So, that's mistywinston.substack.com. So you can check that out. And if you want to support anybody on the show, that's where you would find them. And then also, why not give TNT Radio a follow? Because we're on all the major social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab Getter. And you can help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Be a part of the conversation.
I want representation I can trust.
Have your say.
Biden isn't doing enough.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. So, as I mentioned before, I want this to be, this show is going to be kind of a kicking off point for a longer conversation that I want to have with many people. And it's, I had a listener reach out to me. I guess I can just say his first name, Stuart. Stuart. Hi, Stuart. But he reached out to me wanting to have a conversation about cannabis prohibition and the impacts on the liberty movement. So I started reaching out to a bunch of people, and I would like to have like a very long conversation about this because I think it's a very interesting one to watch this play out. So my guest tonight is my dear friend, Marie Fonseca. And Marie is the director of operations for a privately owned cannabis company based in Florida. And she oversees the purchase and opening of new facilities. So I'm really excited to like start this conversation. It's not really something I've talked about much. So hey, Marie, it's so good to have you on the show.
Hi, Misty. I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah. I've been friends with Marie on Twitter for years. And we finally got to meet at the Rage Against the War Machine rally, albeit briefly. It was a busy day. But yeah, it's good to have you. It's good to have you here.
No, thank you so much. So I'll just clarify on that. I'm based in Florida because I live here.
Oh.
But the company's actually based in Colorado.
Got you. I probably just read it wrong.
No, it's fine. Yeah. No, because, you know, I live in Florida. So, but we actually don't have any businesses in Florida. We've been in the process since like 2016. But part of that whole legalization conversation comes up with that.
Yeah. Let's dive into that because it's definitely one that I've pondered over for a long time because this issue, it's funny to watch it play out because you can see the seeking of power and control and influence over all, you know what I mean? Like all the rich people are trying to get into it quickly and push out everybody else. It's already kind of happened. But I also think that there's
actually there was the big green rush, the original yeah. OGs. And my boss is actually one of those original OGs. He was one of the first 10 licenses that ever happened back in 2009, when nobody was willing to touch any of this, right?
Yeah.
Anybody who had any kind of power or influence or anything, they were not touching this. This was like, oh God, no, they weren't doing it. So those guys all were like the pioneers and they did it and they got going. And then as things got a little bit more stable for them, things started happening. And now, honestly, little guys are totally the minority. There's not a lot left. And the ones that are either on the way to selling out to some publicly traded companies, or they're struggling. They're being bankrupted by these publicly traded companies. Just an example for you is that the largest holder of properties for cannabis properties is BlackRock.
Of course.
Yeah. So people don't necessarily realize the back end of this and why it's not legal. Because right now, as a business, like when you have your business, you know, now we can accept different types of payment. You can't accept credit card unless you do it. Like, it's risky to take credit card because all your funds could be seized right away.
Yeah.
If you're caught doing it, but you can take debit. There's a different methods that they do for debit card transactions that they found loopholes for it, which is great. But with that, if you have a standard business, like a regular, like a clothing store or something like this, you're going to pay like what, 3 to 5%, or sometimes it's even lower, like 1 to 3% of what you're going to pay for fees. Whereas with cannabis, you're right off the top. You're paying like 5 to 10% in fees, and then you're paying like all these extra like costs with it. So those companies are making big money. Yes. And now with the banking thing, it's really scary because cannabis companies can't have regular banks because it's federally illegal, right?
Right.
So we have to have like special banks, which are small banks, and it's not FDIC insured. So right now so because it's federally illegal, so they can tax your money. They will audit the hell out of you. They will kill you for your taxes. They won't skip that beat. But no, your money's totally illegal. So even your employees' accounts can get frozen because it's weed money. So it's a tough situation. But right now with this whole banking scandal, I'm watching that closely, partly because that's how I get my paycheck. But and I'm very afraid, like, oh my God, what if one of these banks crumbles? These banks are different because they're not part of that. But right now they're already talking about, like, with these, I think it's like 1,400 banks that have like crumbled in the last week. I think
it's not looking good.
Yeah. So with that 1,400, they're talking about, like, immediately the conversation was, well, there's all these cannabis banking. That's very scary because that money's not protected.
Yeah.
So the government can come in and take that. So you've got companies that are doing, you know, I mean, there's some that are doing like $83 million a year, $70 million a year, the big guys, but like a small private, like a regular dispensary, you know, they're doing, you know, maybe $5 million a year or something like that. That's still a lot of cash that goes through.
For sure. Yeah.
And to not have, to have no insurance on it is really scary.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's especially now.
Right. So right now, the way, just like they do everything, you know, our laws are never just or fair or good for us. It's all about control. And so right now you have like the top lobbyists in this industry right now are John Boehner, who used to be, he was like Speaker of the House.
Oh, John Boehner?
Yeah. Boehner, yeah. He was Speaker of the House. He's one of the top lobbyists.
Makes me laugh. Industry.
Yeah, it's funny, right? it's really crazy.
John Boehner. John Boehner is in the weed business and has been for a long time, right, Marie? Like, I don't remember what year it was.
That one that they ran him out of office. He was in California.
Yeah,
they did. Rohrabacher or something like that, right?
Oh, Rohrabacher. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big weed guy now, too. He's big.
A lot of people are, because they know. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what's so frustrating.
But he was, when he was still in Congress, he was actually fighting for it, which is, so it's kind of weird when you see who's fighting for legislation and who's not.
Yeah.
So you have people like the Squad that when they go to their campaign events and they have their young people there, they want to sound cool. Like, oh yeah, free the weed, you know, let's do this. Yeah. That's not reality of what they do. And actually, it's the other side that's working on real legalization on it. And if you look, like, Oklahoma is a very red state and it's a very conservative state. and they have like massive sales. If you look at their sales, it's equivalent to 3 ounces per day for every man, woman, and child in the state of Oklahoma. Now, an example so that people have some perspective. If you're in Massachusetts, Colorado, California, New York, you're allowed to have 1 ounce on you, right? You can't have more than 1 ounce, and you can't buy more than 1 ounce per day. And that's for 21 and over. So if you're thinking 3 ounces per day for every man, woman, and child,
that's crazy. That's intense. That is intense. I mean, seriously, that is an intense number. Holy cow, Oklahoma. Yes,
I know.
Simmer down, y'all.
And you don't really think, like, people don't think that. Like, people have
it. Yeah.
And even myself.
Okay, well, hold on. Let's talk about this, because this is something that's been very interesting to me, because I feel like that. Okay, hold on. We got to take a quick break. Everybody hang tight. We're going to be right back with more from Marie Fonseca right after this on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Ross Cameron is talking about.
The 20th anniversary to the day of the invasion of Iraq by a coalition of the willing, in which Australia participated, in which indeed I was a member of the Australian Federal Parliament under John Howard. At the time, Australia made the decision to join. It was a mistake. We ought to be aware of the fact that since human beings enjoy some measure of free will, that we're capable of making mistakes. And I suppose, you know, the test of an individual, of a company, of a government is how quickly it can learn from its mistakes. And I suppose it's worth asking, 2 decades on, how much we learned, because the war in Iraq was indeed just the first among a sequence, one after another, one might even say a pattern of avoidable wars.
Ross Cameron on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
The vaccine campaign will be known as the biggest crime ever committed on humanity. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. This is TNT Radio, and you are listening to the Misty Winston Show. And I am joined by Marie Fonseca, and we are talking about... okay, this is what I wanted to talk to you about, because you mentioned the squad, and it's very interesting to me, because I feel like this issue, the issue of weed legalization or whatever you want to call it, because some people are weird about the language used, but I think that it almost everybody agrees with this, y'all. Almost everybody, like, the support for this is so huge. This seems like it should be a no-brainer, easy thing to accomplish because of the amount of support. And it's very interesting to me the way that they are able to manipulate the narrative and convince people, or I guess just make people apathetic to the fact that it isn't done yet. Because there's a lot of influence in this. Big Pharma is a big influence in this. The alcohol companies, obviously, alcohol lobbies. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot that's going at this. But it's just really interesting to me, the psychology behind the fact that an issue that has this much support across the board is still something we can't get accomplished. It's
so
crazy, Marie,
I will
right?
say this, though. Most of the large alcohol companies, the large alcoholic beverage companies, most of the large ones are part of this industry now.
Yeah.
And Pfizer, I know Pfizer bought a huge company. There's so where that's stemming from, the pharmaceutical companies are really taking over control of the Canadian companies, which that's kind of their thing. And they've got huge stakes in this. And so as long as this remains illegal, as long as this remains some kind of outlier industry, there's so much money to be made by bad people on it. Like a town, just like a small town. Let's take a small town in the mountains somewhere, right? This town doesn't have a bunch of booming tax revenue. So they can bring in cannabis and all of a sudden they have a lot of revenue. Yes. It's crazy. The difference is that if they bring in like a gas station and a restaurant and a clothing boutique, they're going to get their regular, 6-8% tax, right?
Yeah.
Well, with cannabis, they're going to get that tax, but then they're also going to get the cannabis tax on top of it, which is an additional fee. And then on top of that, they have those host community agreements and different things like that. So when you're in the process of your licensing, part of your license application is what you're going to do. Like, what are you going to do? I'm going to build a park. I'm going to build a community center for kids. I'm going to fund this hospital, whatever. Like you have, there's all these obligations that you have to make. And then when you do your renewals, you have to say like, yes, I this is how much I paid to the town in my bribery fees. This is how much I paid to the state. This is how much this, this is how much the pet, the homeless pets or whatever, like the animals, I gave the animal shelter this much and I gave this much, you know, and you have an obligation to this. No other business are you obligated to pay all this.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This one you are. So there's massive amounts of money being made in so many ways by so many different people that do have
bad people. Bad people, Marie. These are terrible people.
that do have power. And so because of that, I don't see that it's just going to be, I mean, it's going to take some kind of crazy miracle, but if it were just magically tomorrow, we're allowed to use regular banks and we're allowed to, just do regular business. We're not. So
And 88%, I just looked it up. 88%. And listen, I don't put a whole lot of stock in polls. Like I just don't.
Yeah.
However, 88%. say that marijuana should be legal for medical and recreational.
Yes. You see, like I can say this geographically, it's shocking because I do travel for work. I've been to pretty much every state in this country and I've been to very big cities, very small towns. I'm on the road all the time. You know that.
Right.
And
yeah,
so
I do
end up in places that I would never go on my own. Like I would never just end up in some small town in southern Michigan, you know, like why would I? Okay. So there's one block that has like businesses. Other than that, it's like cow fields. But I've gone to all these places, and in these places, you end up meeting people. So, you know, you have to eat, stay in a hotel, whatever. So you meet people, and it's amazing the kind of people. Because when I first got into this, I got into this because of the people that I knew. I had access to people that were very bad people, but I had access to them to get help for some people, you know, like if you need a permit or something, I knew enough juice on the guy in town that could get it for you, that kind of a thing. that's exactly how I ended up in this, in this industry at all. Because, you know, Florida is very small. Everything's very connected. And when that Hollywood Hills thing went down, nursing home in Hollywood Hills, when the hurricane, when those people died.
Oh, yeah.
That changed my career for me because some people needed some favors. And so they were like, we need this. And so, anyway, so after that, it's like, well, listen, I need this. And, you know, I know some things. So that's how I ended up in this. But my first reaction, even my boss, the very first time he ever called me, I was like, this is a prank. This is a total joke. You know, he called me. It was like late at night. And he was like, hey, how's it going? I was recommended to you to help me. I need like 25 retail locations. And I was like, okay, yeah, all right. I just thought
that's
nothing.
Cool, though. I mean,
and then the next day, he sent me an article the next day. He was like, just in case, you know, you're looking at spots and they want to know who the client is, this is an article about me. And I read it and I was like, oh, holy, this is real. Okay. Yeah. So I got to work right away. But when I started going into the stores, I was like, okay, total stereotype with the stoners and the this and that. But it's right. Wild when you go because it's
yeah,
old people.
Okay.
It's everybody.
Yeah, that's okay. That's because I think that's interesting. I think that like looking at that, like because you do get to see people of all different walks of life. So we have to take a quick break to get some headlines. But let's talk about that when we get back. Hang tight for just a minute. We're going to be right back with more right here on TNT Radio.
Turn on the news.
News flash.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Chinese President Xi Jinping has wrapped up his three-day state visit to Russia after signing over a dozen bilateral agreements with Moscow. Protesters have taken to the streets of Paris for the sixth night in a row as anger grows over the president's controversial pension reforms, and there are fresh warnings that the banking crisis could swallow up another 50 regional lenders in the US if appropriate steps are not taken to resolve structural issues.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. And you're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking to...
Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, right. This is the Misty Winston Show here on TNT Radio. Okay, so as we were talking about before the break, you get to travel all over the country. You get to talk to a whole bunch of different people. And again, as I said, 88%, that's like everybody. That's all of the people, basically. You know what I mean? That's super huge percentage of the population that, okay, so this is a Pew Research study. And it says an overwhelming share of U.S. adults, 88%, say either that marijuana should be legal for medical and recreational use by adults, 59%, or that it should be legal for medical use only, 30%. So, and I think that the medical only people could very easily be convinced. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's absurd to me that this is a plant that I'm a grown up. And if I, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the whole liberty thing that, that I was talking about at the top of the show that Stuart wrote to me about. I'm a grown up and this, it's obvious to me that those people could very easily be convinced. So like, talk about that because you get to talk to so many different people. There's probably a variety of reasons and.
Yeah. Just an example, like up in the Berkshires, we have a store. And when we first opened it, I was pretty nervous. This is a very, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to the Berkshires, but it's it's a different kind of land. It's in the mountains. It's like kind of the bougie people from New York City come up on the weekends and hang out there. But the people that have been there for generations. And I remember one of the first meetings, because we have to go through these public hearings and the public just tears you up, right? Like the people that show up at public meetings to oppose things, that's an intense crew, right? So just an example on that one, we were in line that night for our public meeting behind a cell phone tower that had been on the agenda for like 3 years and it hadn't passed and they just kept having to run and run and run. And I'm like, wait a minute, but that's why I don't have signal. Every time I come here, I have like no signal. Like, what the fuck? Get a cell phone tower. It's not that bad. But so these are people that like they want their land left the way that it is and they don't want any change. And they come out to like oppose you. And so you have to hold these public meetings and talk to them and whatever. And it's funny because there's always somebody kind of behind the protest. There's always someone that's like incentivizing that protest.
Yes.
And for that one, we found out what it was. And it was a guy that had a stake that was also trying to get he was like investing in these businesses.
Oh, okay. And so he didn't, so he just wanted his cut.
Correct. Yeah. And he wanted it cut out and he wanted it limited. Right. So, okay. And he was a very rich, he was a billionaire. So like, what could you do? We moved on to the next town. We're in the same county, but we moved on to the next town. But you're in this place where like there's three stoplights and six dispensaries. Like that's real. Yeah. It's really like that. And they're all busy all the time. And
they have a science, like there's a science to it. Like there's a reason why that works. It's crazy.
It's like burgers.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to tell you there's too many burger places. There's just too many.
Right.
Because when you want one, you got to have one that's open and you got to have one that has like the flavor that you like. So it's just like anything, like just let people be. Now, when it comes to the Liberty Movement and this is actually something, because of my work on this, has brought me a lot closer to that Liberty Movement, because watching the corruption and watching the way that the government controls things is absurd. Yes. I mean, I don't know if you realize this, but part of the compliance on this is you have to do, like, in several states. This is not just one place. This is several states and several counties and several cities, because you have to go through all those layers for your licensing, right? So you have compliance on every layer, and taxes on every layer. But so on that, you'll get the rules. And to me, the first time I read it, I was like, this is crazy. There's no way that this is legal to do this on a job interview. You can't. They literally ask you, no, it's what is your gender? And then what is your defined gender? What is your race? What is your identifying race? What is your defined race? Like all these things. And it breaks it down. But then on your licensing criteria, they have like, you have to have a certain amount of whatever, you know, like a certain amount of LGBTQ. You have to have you have a certain amount of ethnicities. And I was like, when I was reading, I was like, this, how do you just ask somebody this on an interview question? Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
This is so inappropriate, but this is how they do it. And they call it social equity, right? Because we're helping the community need help. No, you're not. You're just segregating people worse than ever. And there's loopholes to everything.
Yes. And that benefit the rich people. That's
correct. If you're a billionaire, you're not going to go tally your staff to see who's fucking what, right? Right. You're just going to magically claim that this person is this and this person is this, and that's that. That's how you're going to do it. The other loophole that they use is this social equity for people who were harmed by the war on drugs. Do you know what that goes for right now in the industry?
No.
If you are a felon that was convicted of a nonviolent drug offense, on my application to apply for a license in a difficult state, that's a tremendous amount of points to have, right?
I think so, I've heard of this. Yeah.
So what these companies do is they will, it's as soon as it pops out that this has happened, everybody's out like, I'm a felon. I got this. And I know it's like hilarious. It's gross, but it's hilarious. And what they do is they'll say, okay, look, what I'll do for you, you're going to be the face of the business and I'm going to give you 5% of the business. You don't ever have to touch anything. You're going to be a silent partner, but you're the face of the business, right? So they'll give them maybe 100,000 or 200,000 up front, unless it's somebody really good. If it's somebody really good, they might get a couple million up front, but that's the face of that application. But the reality of who owns that business is not that person. It's some multi billionaires that own it, and they're just out buying it like this. So that's what always happens.
With everything, but, with literally everything, that's how that happens, is that the rich people just come in and buy out the smaller people. Who can turn it down?
It really harms it. So like,
yeah, no, of course it does.
Do that. Oklahoma actually gave a license to anybody. You want to do it, do it. Grandma has an extra room in her garage that she said that you could open a business in. Here you go. It's like in Oklahoma, you could have like $5,000 in your pocket and open a dispensary. It's not hard. But
that's so funny.
And then the market is super saturated too. So now you've got stiff competition. So that's the problem.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, let's talk about that, because I know that it varies greatly still, which is, it's not, the fact that it's not legalized just federally, and the fact that it's just like not even a conversation, it should be a non-conversation. But it's, you know, here we are, 2023, still talking about this. So stupid. Right. Okay, so we do have to take another quick break, but hang tight. We're going to be right back with more from Marie right here on TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Oh, how sweet it is. The great one Jackie Gleason's favorite tagline is ever so appropriate to describe Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's plight after it came to light that he withheld over 600 pages of exculpatory evidence from the Manhattan grand jury impaneled to indict President Donald Trump. Withholding exculpatory evidence is a serious breach of legal ethics. I predicted that this political persecution, which was declined by the Federal Election Commission, by the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, by the New York State Attorney General, would come back to bite Alvin in the arse. And sure enough, it looks like it might lead to his disbarment. And away we go. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The extensive reach of big tech companies combined with government's penchant for digital identity, vaccine passports, and digital currencies has given rise to concerns that social credit systems will soon be coming to the West. MasterCard has developed a carbon calculator that can inform consumers of their carbon footprint, allowing them to make more mindful spending decisions. Alibaba Holdings president J. Michael Evans claims that the company is creating an app to track an individual user's carbon footprint from their traveling and eating choices on their platform. Writer Kit Knightley notes this Chinese company is the second largest e-commerce company in the world after Amazon, and through subsidiaries, runs the largest domain name market, email provider, and cloud storage services in China, and the largest payment platform in the world. They also supply online pharmacy services, provide computer technology to hospitals, and own the biggest e-map navigation company in China. Knightley questions if Alibaba would soon reward other correct choices that had nothing to do with the environment and punish incorrect choices. And of course, how far behind would Google, Amazon, and Apple be?
If you're talking about it,
we have to stop being naive about the threat we face from China.
We're talking about it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. This is the Misty Winston Show, and we're talking weed with Marie. okay. So as I mentioned before the break, like, let's talk about the difference, because in Ohio, like, I'm in Ohio and I have medical, but not recreational, despite the fact that over 60% of the population of Ohio supports it. And that's kind of what I mean, though. In you go to state after state after state. Isn't it crazy how vast it still varies across the country? And again, it's 2023. Do you think it's just because they are still trying to figure out the intricacies of taking over full control, and they're just trying to keep it as small as they can for as long as they can for the profit, obviously? Because it feels like they can't hold this off for too much longer, really. I mean,
well, no. The thing is, the small stuff is pretty much done. Like, anybody. Yeah. It's very tough to hang in there as a small person. If you don't have like a lot of money, you're not able to do this. It's not, there's just no way. You can't get loans. You can't do any of that. So it's all very controlled, but I think that it's not going to. I think that with the way that pharmaceutical companies are purchasing companies and purchasing things and doing things. Also Israel, I don't know if you know this, but Israel is the largest exporter of medical cannabis.
That doesn't surprise me, honestly.
Right. So you have the pharmaceutical companies, and then you have your little, you know, NATO powerhouses. I mean, what happens with that? So
right.
What I think that they're going to do is, like, my idea of what I see as a reality is that it's good. And also Amazon, like Jeff Bezos is already set up to.
Yeah, of course.
Right now they're the lawsuit for the Interstate Commerce Clause now. And I know that Bezos is supporting that lawsuit on the side against the government for it, because if that goes through, then Bezos is going to be the largest distributor of cannabis in the world.
So I really dislike that guy a lot. Like, nobody should have that much power.
Nobody. This is the reality, though. So I think that they're just making sure that they can get all the infrastructure in place, and then it's just going to go, the big guys will just run the show, and that's that.
Yes. Yeah.
But for right now, it's like fun. Like, these years have been so fun for me, like, learning so much.
I bet.
So much. It's just crazy. I mean, I've traveled with $100,000 in my suitcase and gone through TSA. I mean, I've, because that's another nature of the business, you know, with the whole cash thing. So,
there's that's just true.
So, like, you know, I have to do different things at all times, and I'm totally open to it. I'm cool with it. I'm down for anything all the time, which is my job security right now. But as the big guys take over, it's very interesting to see. And like in Florida, free state of Florida, there you go. We're medical only, right? Because they won't allow recreational. However, I know.
Wow.
Free state. It's not so free. Anyway, but and ours, all of the businesses are publicly traded companies only. There's no private businesses in cannabis. It's only the big guys. Yeah. So
I'm not really surprised that Ohio doesn't have more than medical, because Ohio's kind of always been a little, I don't want to say conservative, because I don't think that that's necessarily a conservative thing. I think a lot of conservatives support.
You guys still have dry county.
Yeah.
You still have dry county, so that's just the way it is. But also, you guys are surrounded by states that are legal. So anybody that wants it, pretty easy to go and get it. I mean, to go from a lot of the customers in Southern Michigan come from Ohio, right?
Yes. Yes, I have friends that visit dispensaries, and yes.
Correct, and so that's another way of doing it. So it's not like it's like some crucial need, but the medical aspect of it, a concern that I have on the medical side of it, right now you're hearing this big push for Medicaid to cover it. I think that that is nice in ideology when we think about like, oh, that would be so nice for people on Medicare to be able to get their weed, right? The reality is, what happens with anything that Medicare is paying for?
That's okay.
No normal person is going to be able to afford that again, because it's going to be this prescription only, Medicare controlled, and no normal John, Bob, or Joe is going to be able to pull out their wallet and pay the same as what Medicare is able to pay.
Yeah, that's true.
So it knocks anybody not on Medicare out of that system completely. Whereas right now, most of the reason why it's so expensive is not greed. It's because of compliance and the things that you need. It's very expensive to run this
business. It sounds like you need an advanced degree just to understand the intricacies of all of the things you're allowed to do, not allowed to do, how you're allowed to bank, what you got to qualify for.
Because it changes from state to state, but it also changes from city to city. You can be one city, and the city next door has totally different rules and laws. So it's a very big thing. I don't have that kind of, like, I'm not an attorney or anything. I just, it's intense. I work a lot. I work like 60 to 70 hours a week. I work all the time.
Yeah, I know you're always traveling. Like, you're always on the go.
Yeah, I'm always on the go. I'm always working, literally on an airplane working all the time. I got to know what's going on. And, you know, if they change a rule and you didn't pay attention, then you just risk the entire company, you know, because if you lose one license because you get punished, then that gets reported on all your licenses, even though they're all separate.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, it's really intense, but it's
that is intense.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of crazy too. And then you're
doing that is crazy. Like I'm exhausted like, just just thinking about it. Like I'm there's no way. There's no way that I could I could keep up with all that stuff. I just could not.
You could exhausting. Totally. And most of your coworkers are like intense stoners. So that's also what I'm like, wait a minute. We just had an inspection. Who was in charge of the inspection? They're like, oh my God, I don't know. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God. That's funny.
For them, I mean, they're like, hi, and they don't give a shit. They're like, oh yeah, it's all good. We're happy, we're good. I'm like, okay.
That is so funny.
Yeah, I take the stressful side, but yeah, they're all very carefree.
Yeah, but I mean, how many states is it legal in total? Do you know? Is it 21?
Right now,
20?
For recreational, I think that it's at like 24 right now. I need to check.
24? Okay. I knew it was in the 20s, but I wasn't sure.
We just had that last election. It's like 24. There's only a few states where it's totally not legal, but it's happening. Those are happening.
One yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like they can't stop it. The snowball's already rolling.
But the money's also rolling in to pay off people so that, you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yes.
Just how it happened is going to be the difference. So the farm bill, you know what happened with the farm bill, right? The farm bill made hemp legal, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So the farm bill, there was an accident when they did the farm bill, and that's how Delta 8 happened. And so there was an accident where they put these percentages. So just an example, I don't have recreational weed here in Florida, right? There is a soft drink that we carry at our store in Massachusetts. Obviously, you can't cross state lines, right? So I would never do that. So that soft drink, I can't buy that in Florida. And so, but because of the farm bill, Missouri, all of the companies that are going to Missouri, look at the impact of what's happening from the farm bill in Missouri. These companies are doing crazy, amazing businesses, and they're just shipping everywhere. So they cannot ship legally to Massachusetts because they have a ban on it. They cannot ship legally to California because they have a ban on it, but they can ship to me here in Florida. They can ship to Texas. They can ship to all these other ones. So I don't have to go to a dispensary. Like the UPS man delivers my weed.
That's amazing. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. So that was an accident that happened with the farm bill, and they're rushing to try to correct that right now, but it's not going to work. These businesses have already started booming and the consumer demand is there. So they're not going to be able to just shut down.
Yes, the consumer demand is definitely there. Like, I think that, again, I think people who only see it as good for medical, I think, are very easily convinced otherwise. And that's why, like, there's no way that they're going to, this snowball is, like, so far down the hill already. there's no going
And then back. Also there's the no innovation, back. You know, they talk about innovation and how everything's so boring, but this, I got to tell you, like, it's so fascinating to me how fast it changes. The industry changes and just people just come up with the just craziest shit. Like there's like weed seasoning salt. There's weed hot sauce.
Oh yeah. I've seen that. Yeah.
Sodas. There's weed, it's so like funny. Literally everything. And my son was home recently and he was like cracking up laughing because his friend came and he's like, oh, be careful in my mom's fridge. He's like, don't put like dressing on your salad without asking what kind of dressing that is first.
That's funny. That's funny. But yes, like there is, people are very creative about everything now. There's, I mean, weed hot chocolate that you can get. There's, I mean, it's.
Yeah, there's weed hot chocolate. There's all kinds of things, but there's also these amazing cookbooks too.
Yes. Yes, I have a couple. Yeah, actually.
I got one for one of our stores over the holidays, and it was called Stoned for the Holidays, and it was tasty cannabis recipes to tasty cannabis recipes to nourish your family and chill them the fuck out. And it was like every recipe, like it was like sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, weed infused turkey, like everything, just to have a stoned holiday.
I think we should all disagree that prohibition doesn't work. Can we disagree to
it
that?
Doesn't.
Can
everybody? Can we disagree? So stupid.
It is so stupid. Can we stop doing this? It doesn't work.
There's shows like Moonshiners still. There's still people doing illegal moonshine. I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Now, that's another side of the legalization, though, that California fucked up real bad and New York fucked up real bad. And it is what it is. When was the last time you were in New York City?
Oh, God. It's been probably at least a decade.
Okay, so it's a little wild. Literally, you'll have like an illegal pot shop next to Macy's. Like, it's crazy. It's everywhere. Okay. And they're all 100% illegal. They're not legal businesses. So what they did was all these businesses open, and now they're going to try, because now they're finally passing out licenses. And so now they're going to try to, you know, do something about these businesses, but it's too late. These businesses are already everywhere. There's thousands of them. And so these guys already have their foothold. They already have their customer base. They already have all this stuff. So somebody... That's why only a publicly traded company is going to come in there, because any little man is not going to be able to compete with that. We're selling the same product, but I'm paying 30% tax and you're not.
Yeah.
You're not going to compete with that. It's not going to happen.
No, you can't. That's impossible.
But you know, New York is very proud right now because they have the largest black-owned cannabis company that there is. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah. P. Diddy owns that. P. Diddy owns it.
Oh.
He bought. Yeah. But what's really funny about it is that they're touting this. They're so proud of it. Oh, my God. You know, the largest black-owned business. Right. Can we look at the shareholders on this company? Because I'm pretty sure they're not black.
Right. I don't know. But that's how they can spin the narrative, though, and then they can give themselves a big old pat on the back.
That's right.
And they can pretend as if they are so advanced. And
they're so diverse.
They're so amazing. Diverse and inclusive. They're so inclusive.
So diverse.
That's so funny. We should seriously look into the shareholders.
The shareholders, it's incredible. But also some of the people that have companies, you know, Whoopi Goldberg has a cannabis line. Did you know that?
I did actually know that. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Whoopi Goldberg. There's like literally everybody has it. You know, Mike Tyson.
Yeah. There's a lot of celebrity ones. There's a ton of celebrities who have.
Tons of them. Like, yeah.
Weed. Yeah. Or they've at least slapped their face and their name and likeness
on a
weed
company. That's all it is, a licensing agreement.
Yeah.
It's just like,
you know what I mean? Yeah, they're the face of. Yeah.
Toby Keith.
There's a lot of that.
Toby Keith has Big Dog Cannabis. Willie Nelson, we all know that, let's be real. There's a lot of celebrities in the game, and it's kind of funny. But yeah, they're touting this like it's like some big milestone for civil rights or something, and I'm like, okay, like this is so weird. Like, are people this stupid that they're falling?
Yes, Marie, why are you asking that? You know the answer is yes. Yes, people are that stupid. It is like, seriously, like the stuff that, again, the idea that we're even just having this conversation, that it's not just like, hey, you want to get high, then okay, get high. Like it's silly to me that we're still having this conversation. But okay, we only have a couple minutes left. Do you want to tell everybody where they can follow you so they can follow your crazy adventures?
just on Twitter is fine. I can see everybody on Twitter. I'm not so much, I'm not so good at technology, so I don't have all this stuff.
I'm not really either. If I didn't have Indy and Sleepy Josh, I would, like, I run my Twitter.
I can Twitter.
Indy does my Substack. I'm terrible at that stuff. I'm so bad at it. It's really a problem. So
yeah,
I'm
glad it's Twitter. tag me because then, or like talk to me, because then when I'm in a city near you, then I visit, like I get to see people. So that's also kind of fun.
Yeah. So Marie is at the Marie Fonseca. It's Fonseca. So go follow her on the tweeters. And I'll be back tomorrow with another show. And as Julian Assange always says, learn, challenge, act now. And don't go anywhere, because coming up right after this, there's more on TNT Radio.